The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Welcome to Mayfair and the august, elegant surroundings of the Royal Institution. This is the place where great thinkers gather to discuss and celebrate science, the achievements of pioneers like Michael Faraday and Humphrey Davy. But for one day in September this year, it'll be the venue for the annual celebration of radio's present and future. Next Radio. We'll meet the organisers in a minute and find out what they've got in store for us this year. But first, on this Radio Today programme, Action Stations, the new document from Radio Centre, which was launched last week in another famous location.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix.
This is the Radio Today programme and you find us in Dining Room A at the House of Commons. Well, the Houses of Parliament. And Andrew Bingham is here, who's the chairman of the All-Party Parliamentary Commercial Radio Group. Andrew, thanks for joining us. You've just launched this new report from Radio Centre about the future of commercial radio and its great achievements so far. How would you summarise it?
Well, the report's called Action Stations. I think it gives a great view of what commercial radio is, what it does, what it's about, and how it benefits so many different areas. It benefits the economy, it benefits local communities. It's a great document. As I said in my speech earlier, there are many documents that come out of the House of Commons that are easier and harder to read. This is one of the best documents I've seen. It's very user-friendly, but it says it as it is, which is what we need to do. I'm a great supporter of commercial radio. I think this report's excellent.
I think it would be fair to say that commercial radio has had its critics recently during this era of consolidation. Do you still think it can provide the service for local listeners and local advertisers that it was set up to do?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I have a local radio station in my constituency called Highpeat Radio, and they provide a super service. You know, they benefit local traders with their advertising. They help local voluntary groups. They have their, you know, if you're running a voluntary event, charity event, you know, tell the radio, it'll get broadcast. I mean, they're part of the community. It's not just a commercial operation. Yes, it is commercial radio. That's what it is. But it's also a great service to local communities as well.
As an MP, do you think that commercial radio and the BBC should coexist, or should they compete with one another?
I think there's room for them both to exist. There'll be a natural competition. There always is. And then you look at issues around about funding and commercial radio funding and state funding. You know, but there's room for everybody. I mean, I support the BBC, but commercial radio, particularly in areas like mine where it's small, it's locally focused, superb place.
What commercial radio wants, of course, is less and less regulation. Do you think that there is a prevailing mood within government to help them down that track?
Well, I'd like to think so. Obviously, we've done very well. We've had the new Secretary of State here, which is fantastic. And, you know, there's issues around about playlists, because obviously with the internet coming along and people being to listen to radio online and digitally, it's changing the whole complexion. And I think we perhaps need to look at some of the rules and regulations that are there now that were written some time ago. The world is changing, media is changing, the way people access media is changing. We need to make sure the legislation doesn't restrict commercial radio in this changing world.
Just one final thing, Andrew. Do you think radio is on the lips of our legislators? You know, we hear MPs often talking about television and the internet. Do they take radio for granted? Are they really interested in it, do you think?
Well, I think all I need to say to that is we've had the Secretary of State here today. And there's no better advert for the fact that, yes, and one of my roles as the chairman of the All-Party Group, I think, is to make sure that commercial radio does get a good profile. And I can speak to Minister, Secretary of State, but I was delighted that he found time. It's a huge department he's got, and I know he spent a lot of time getting into all the different areas of the culture, the sport, as well as the media. And to take time come here, I think it's a great demonstration of the interest that there is in commercial radio.
Andrew Bingham, thanks for talking to Radio Today.
Pleasure.
I found Michael Benn from Lynx FM. Michael, this is a good event, isn't it? And what a great thing to get the Secretary of State to turn out.
I think it was fantastic. Just a few days, actually, into his job, and really engaged with commercial radio. Told us a wonderful story about how he ran a radio station in his father's shop with just one record.
Pistolero,
yes.
By Roy Orbison.
That was brave to tell us the title of it. I would have chosen another one.
Pistolero, pistolero, where do you roam? Pistolero, pistolero, on your way home.
But no, lovely to have a Secretary of State who's really enthusiastic about the medium. And you know, I think the whole sector is actually, rude health might be just overstating it, but we've come out of a difficult time.
I'm going to talk to Siobhan in a minute, who's the new head of Radio Centre. Do you think that Radio Centre is beginning to talk more with one voice than perhaps it has in the last few years? You're from one of the smaller groups. There are always people saying that actually the sector just speaks for its biggest groups. Are you going to get a word in, Michael?
I guess I've been a director of the trade body in its various forms for 20-something years, so I've always thought that the smaller station's voice is heard, and I don't think it would be fair to say that my board colleagues haven't listened. But, you know, sometimes you need a new step, and I think Siobhan is a great appointment as chief executive for Radio Centre, and I hope that we will speak more as one voice. You know, we're a £500 million industry, and I was reading about all the many billionaires in their own right that there are in London, so we mustn't over-egg what we're doing. Speaking with one voice will make us much more effective than trying to have too many noises off.
Michael Benton, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Well, here is Siobhan Kenny, of whom Michael Benton was speaking. Welcome to the Radio Today programme, Siobhan, and welcome to radio.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been in it now?
5 weeks in the job now, so I'm something of a veteran, I think you might say.
Expert. Yes. Well, you've been in it longer than the Secretary of State.
As he said.
So what do you make of it so far?
Well, I'm lucky enough to attend the Radio Academy Awards last night, and I think that sort of summed up for me what my first impressions have been. There's such passion and enthusiasm in this industry. There's such talent, it's incredible. And I think when you look at the statistics about who's listening in this country, we've got a really good future ahead of us. So yeah, there's challenges, we all know that. And we'll be looking at regulation, and we'll be banging on the government's door when it comes to charter review. But I'm confident that there's a very rosy future ahead for this industry.
Can you make Radio Centre a bit more collegiate? You know, all the stories that came out of it in the past 2 or 3 years were about people leaving and people arguing with one another, but surely you should all be on the same side.
I think that's a very good ambition to have. Everything that went on in the past is in the past. And now we start with a fresh vision and we look to the future.
So regulation, what do you want? None at all, I guess.
No, I'm not. I used to work in government. I understand what regulators need, and I understand the need for them as well. But I want sensible regulation, and I want a level playing field between us and any new competitors that can come into the market. Listen, I'm really confident we can compete very strongly, but not if our hands are fettered by 1990s regulation.
And are you going to be talking to Helen Bowden and the BBC about working together?
Already am. Had lots of very good conversations with Helen. She's going to be speaking at our conference on the 3rd of July. And from my experience, in my first week, I went to a board meeting at Radio Player, which Helen was chairing, of course. And I was really struck by how powerful a force it is when commercial radio and the BBC work together.
Do you mind me asking you what you listen to?
I listen to a huge variety of everything, and I'm far too tactful to mention anything at this moment, Trevor.
Maybe we'll talk at some greater length sometime.
Yes.
Thank you, Siobhan.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
If you'd like to read the Action Stations booklet, you can download it from radiocentre.org. And I'd urge you to have a look at it, actually. There's some powerful data in there, which I don't think always gets the exposure it deserves. So this is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. Next Radio is next.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover.
So here we are in the Royal Institution. I've got a few copies here of the Proceedings of the Royal Society of London from 1939, copies of Nature here from 1952. And I have James Cridland, who's on pretty much every week these days, and Matt Deegan, and they're going to tell us all about Next Radio, which they have jointly organised. I'm not going to start with you, James, because you're just on too often. Matt, what's the point of Next Radio?
So this is the fourth time we've run a radio conference. What we'd like to do is have a conference about radio ideas. It can be programming ideas, it can be technology ideas, it can be presenting ideas. It just exposes great thoughts, great things people have done to the radio industry as a whole. And it's a one-day conference in London, September the 8th, later on this year, and it's going to be marvellous.
And what a fantastic place to hold it. How did you find this?
When you look for a conference venue, it's quite hard, actually. Nothing quite ticks all the boxes. And so me and James traipsed around London trying to find somewhere interesting to hold it. We've had some great venues in the past. We were at the Mermaid Theatre last year, and we were at the Magic Circle for the first couple of years. Here's great. You might have seen it on TV. It's where they have the Christmas lectures. And it's a brilliant, almost amphitheatre where our presenters are going to be presenting from. And I think it's going to be a wonderful day. Also, it's somewhere that has quite a lot of history and even sort of a bit of radio history.
Yeah, I mean, the theatre where we're actually doing Next Radio was completed in 1801. So it's quite an old place. So if Larry Gifford, for example, your friend from America, was coming this year, he would be amazed because it's older than his country. But, you know, and elements have been found here. Michael Faraday bought the Faraday cage, which amusingly is the thing that stops you from actually picking up radio inside a building. So all of that kind of stuff is here. So it's a wonderful place. And the theatre itself is tremendously intimate. You are really close to the speakers. And that, I think, is going to be both quite daunting for some of us, but also really exciting, actually.
So are you able to tell us the names of any of the speakers yet?
No, we're going to try not to. So what we do with...
That's a tease.
What we do with Next Radio is we try and organise quite a few speakers up front, but also leave some time between now and September so that we can reflect some issues that are happening in the industry at that point. There are some people... I was thinking about talking about what kinds of organisations they were from. Radio ones. No. So we've got people from the BBC. We've got people from... Bauer.
Yes, what I like about this is that Matt is now looking at me as if I might actually spill all of the beans and then I'll get into a little bit of trouble. But we've got some speakers from, obviously some speakers from the UK, some speakers from abroad. It's got a really interesting speaker from the government, gov.uk. So the brand new website that the government has been running for the last couple of years, it's really changed a lot of how the government's worked. And so brilliant speaker from there, which we're really looking forward to having presenters. We've got some online folk, we've got some R&D guys, and you know, obviously a lot of people who are on your podcast very regularly indeed.
So here's the thing, the radio festival's coming forwards again to October. You're on in September. Do we need to go to both, or are you really setting yourself up in opposition?
I think we're a lovely warm-up for the radio festival, surely. I think they're two different conferences. I mean, one's in London, one's in Manchester. In Salford, one's got over 2 days, 2 or 3 days, depending on what you do. We're a single-day conference. I think for us, we're at a slightly different price point to them, though I think the Academy this year has organised a brilliant how-to day at a similar price. So they're kind of quite different events.
And this price is?
So it's going to be £99. And we try and keep it relatively inexpensive. When we set up Next Radio, we wanted an event that was good enough that even if your company didn't pay for you, you could probably just about afford to go along. And I think that's really where Next Radio came from. We wanted to create a conference that we wanted to go to ourselves.
And no panels.
Both of us are very lucky that we speak sort of around the world at different radio events, and pretty much everyone has an interminable panel where you've got five people basically saying the same thing. So rather than that, we have people who present for either 9 minutes or 18 minutes. Normally they're very passionate about their subject. They know about their subject. They're the people that did it rather than their boss reading a PowerPoint that someone else has presented. And I think that brings you as a delegate to the conference closer to that person to learn more about his ideas or her ideas through their enthusiasm for them. And I think if you want to go and see the kind of sessions we have videos of all of our previous sessions on our Next Radio website. If you just search for Next Radio Conference, you can find it there. And we're really keen just to inspire people, and the feedback we've had from Next in previous years is really positive, and people have gone back to their radio stations and they don't need to copy an idea, but they're like, oh, I know why they did that now. I can see I've got a similar problem here at my station. We're going to think through how we solve that problem.
One of my observations of Next Radio is that when it finishes at about 5:30, there are as many people in the room as there were at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's something that's rare, I think, in conferences. I mean, people do genuinely want to stay for every session because they know, as you said, that they're only quite short and they don't have to pledge themselves to another 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one person saying, I thought that I would have no interest in this one, so I was going to skip that and check my email, but actually I realised that by the time I'd skipped it and checked my email, it would have been time for the next session anyway. And also, I'm really glad that I didn't go, because I learnt an awful lot from something that I wouldn't necessarily have chosen to go and see. And I think that's the interesting thing. People ask what the theme of Next Radio is going to be this year, and it's the theme that Next Radio always has, which is just really interesting ideas from across the industry. And I think, you know, what's nice is that sort of mishmash of different people talking about different things in one day, and it's really hard work. By 5 o'clock, you know, you've probably seen 25 speakers or more, and you're actually there thinking, do you know what, now I could really do with a drink, because blimey, it's been a long, long, hard day. And I think that's really good. You know, people are really wanting a shorter time to just go, oh, here's an interesting idea, here's another interesting idea, here's another one. And that's really what Next Radio is there for.
Now, James, you're known as a futurologist. I'm guessing that you're better at the future than you are at the past. When did you say the venue was built?
Well, I've got written down here that the theatre itself was built in 1801. But
and then you said that would make it older than Larry Gifford's country. But as we know, that was founded in a few years earlier than that, wasn't it?
Well, I
so you're a rubbish historian.
I wasn't alive at the time, Trevor.
Sack him, Matt. Those details again.
So it's £99 is the early bird fee. We're very lucky in with Next Radio and the tickets go relatively fast and they're limited. But if you can hear this, you should be able to get your early bird at £99. And it's on September the 8th at the Royal Institution in London. We would love to see you there. And if you want more information or to see last year's videos, just search for Next Radio Conference.
Thank you, Matt Deegan and James Cridland. Let's have some radio news, shall we, from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Simon Cole's company, UBC Media, is rebranding a Seven Digital Group after a £30 million merger. The deal is still going through, but expected to be completed in the next few weeks. The company owns 20% of Audioboo, which has also changed its name this week to Audioboom. The Big Top 40 will include plays on YouTube and other social media later in the summer. The show, sponsored by Vodafone and produced by Global Radio, is celebrating its fifth birthday this year. And the 67 UK finalists have been announced for the New York Festivals. Congratulations if you're on the shortlist. The award evening takes place in New York on June the 23rd. We'll see you there then. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin. 100 years of radio.
Radio moments. We start this week 34 years ago and the arrival of the first in the second tranche of English commercial stations.
Britain's 21st independent local radio station is launched today with the opening of Mercia Sound, covering Coventry, Warwickshire and part of Leicestershire. It means an early start to the day for a class of Coventry school children. Youngsters in Class 1 at Walsgrave Junior School are already at their desks. They arrived at 6:45, especially to tune in for our first broadcast.
Is there anybody out there?
Yes, I'm sitting in the presentation chair this morning, so I might as well do the programme. Good morning, listeners, shareholders and Walsgrave school kids. At last, it's Friday, the 23rd of May.
The launch of Mercia Sound in Coventry this week in 1980. Life in commercial radio in those days was colourful. This week, 32 years ago, there was drama down the road at Leicester's Centre Radio. The chairman walked out during a board meeting. Irreconcilable differences, he said. Centre Radio! Here's a chap who didn't need to walk out. He was suspended.
It is the regional programme, The Illumination of the Fleet. Once again, we're taking you on board HMS Nelson for a description of the scene at Spithead tonight by Lieutenant Commander Thomas Woodruff.
At the present moment, the whole fleet is lit up. And the whole thing isn't fairyland. It isn't true. It isn't here. And as I say it, it's gone. It's gone. There's no fleet. It's disappeared. No magician who ever could have waved his wand could have waved it with more acumen than he has now at the present moment.
He still managed to say acumen, didn't he? The earliest radio fail of all from this week, 77 years ago. The BBC commentary on the illumination of the naval fleet, thanks to a very happy Lieutenant Commander Tommy Woodruff. The broadcast was wisely faded out and replaced by music. The press suggested he was overworked and he was allowed to rest for a week. A final farewell this week in 1965 to the gentleman said to be the first ever DJ.
Christopher Stone speaking. I know you'd like to hear the rest of that, and so would I, but I just want to interrupt and explain a word that was mentioned, and that was box.
Christopher Stone, who died this week 49 years ago. He'd suggested that very first gramophone records programme.
I used to write books and that sort of thing. I gradually got mixed up in this magazine that my brother-in-law was starting, The Gramophone. And, of course, it meant a tremendous lot of work building that up into the size it's got to. And so there it was. I was working very hard, and I suddenly came to the conclusion that the BBC were not having really the best new records that were coming out into my office. So I wrote to them about it, and Rex Palmer asked me to go along. He put me under Craig Miller, who looked after me tremendously well.
Christopher Stone, who worked for the BBC before defecting to Radio Luxembourg for more money. 41 years ago, trouble for the BBC. 8 men and 2 women were in court regarding bribery. It was alleged they tempted BBC employees with money, holidays and sex to play certain records. 2 were remanded in custody. That same week in 73, a challenge for commercial radio. The first programme controller of Capital Radio, Ruth Leon, was to leave before the station had even begun. In fact, many launches were not without incidents. Let's take this famous one from this week in 1975.
Now, we've got a lot of excitement here this morning because I understand that waiting to speak to us is the first child that's been born round about the same time that we are. So I hope I push the right buttons, and I will say hello to Sister Golding. Hello, Sister Golding. Can you hear us? Hello, Sister Golding? Now, just one moment. Hello, Sister Golding? Hello? Hello? Oh, dear. Well, never mind. These things are bound to happen. That's what the first day is all about. We will not worry about it. The time on Plymouth Sound is now 7 minutes, just after 7 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed. Colin Bauer with the launch of Plymouth Sound from this week 39 years ago.
Hello?
Hello. Back then, Colin's voice was new to most listeners, unlike this one.
Yes, welcome to the birth of a brand new star, the all-new 101.6 Star FM. I'm Peter Dixon. I'm wishing
on a star. Happy 21st birthday, Star FM from Slough, now just back on air, actually, as Time. In those days, networking was virtually non-existent, but this week, 27 years ago, the team in Yorkshire wired up several banks of cart machines and began networking across the region. Viking Halibut! Yes, those 3 stations came together excitedly, coming to form the Yorkshire Radio Network.
Well, it's here. Yorkshire Radio Network. Culmination of Radio Hallam in Sheffield, Pennine Radio in Bradford, and Viking Radio in Hull. My name's Tim Finlay. Sitting down thinking, how are we going to start a brand new station and a brand new show off? Well, I thought, we'll dedicate this one to the engineers who made it all possible, the management who are sitting quietly drinking. And of course, the DJs have got to run it to you between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. every weekday morning. Appropriately enough, thought Queen would start it off. Radio Gaga. Good evening.
Despite commercial stations starting to unite into clusters and networks, radio was still failing to rise above its reputation as a 2% medium, achieving just that share of the advertising market. But then 22 years ago this week, in comes Douglas MacArthur, and the Radio Advertising Bureau was formed.
And I did a deal with the six groups that started the REB that if, I'm not sure if I say this actually, but if they, you know, if I could double the revenue in 3 years, they'd pay me all my salary again. And they did.
Douglas MacArthur. So with BBC Radio Solent expanding to Bournemouth 41 years ago, Mark Thompson appointed Director General of the BBC 10 years ago, and the Competition Commission announcing that Global's acquisition of the GMG stations couldn't go ahead this week last year. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Well, thank you, David. This has been the Radio Today programme, a TDC production. Don't forget the Action Stations book is at radiocentre.org, and next radio will be here at the Royal Institution on September the 8th. Thanks a lot for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.